KYW News Radio original podcasts.
This is the rundown for Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. Right now, Philadelphia school teachers are pulling double duty, teaching students in the classroom as well as teaching students at home on a webcam at the same time. Now, it's incredibly difficult, and Philadelphia school superintendent wants to change that. And we'll talk about that today on the rundown.
It's a grind. It's burning teachers out. And you heard the superintendent say it can't go on forever.
It seems as though the experts are talking about having everybody being back in school for full day is kind of where it needs to be to prevent this learning loss that we're seeing. You know, it's across the board.
It's called the rundown.
I wonder how much the friction of adults will interfere with kids in the classroom who, as Mike said, just want to learn and just want to learn best.
From KYW News Radio.
Welcome to The Rundown. I'm J. Scott Smith, and we're joined today by KYW reporter Mike DiNardo. He's been covering the Philadelphia schools. Mike, good to have you on here today.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
And we're also joined by Mike Doherty, a reporter at KYW News Radio. Great to have you back on here, Mike.
Good to see you, Jay.
A little Mike and Mike action happening today here on the podcast. We're going to start this off with a clip from Philadelphia School Superintendent Dr. William Height.
One thing we can't do in perpetuity is have teachers trying to focus on one group of kids who are in classrooms and the other group of kids who are in another group of students who are at home. They are navigating through it because it is what we're faced with now. But we can't support that model in perpetuity. It's just asking too much for individuals.
Now, I think a lot of people don't understand how much teachers who are teaching in this hybrid environment are juggling every day. You've got half your class in front of you in a classroom, while the other half is coming to you from home or wherever they can get internet, basically. And you're trying to teach a lesson in some sort of equitable fashion to two different groups of people and two totally different sensory inputs, all that. All this stuff is going on around them. And Mike, this does not sound like an incredibly sustainable way to work. And it seems like the superintendent is agreeing with this.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what he said. I mean, you walk into a Philadelphia school classroom now and you see a webcam at the front of the room in addition to the plexiglass partitions on all the desks. That's because teachers are monitoring their students online at the same time as they're instructing the kids right in front of them in the classroom. And it's a grind. It's burning teachers out. And you heard the superintendent say it can't go on forever. But he didn't make any commitments as to when the end date would be, whether there would be no double duty for teachers in the fall or not. Only he said that it couldn't go on indefinitely. So he knows that this is a drag on teachers, but he wasn't able to say exactly when they won't be doing this double duty.
Now, I'm also coming from this aspect, having had my own experience in hybrid teaching. I was teaching journalism at Lincoln University, just outside of Philadelphia here in HBCU, just outside of Philly. And the first part of that semester, we went from mid-semester being in class to all of a sudden I had to set up everything to be able to teach these classes. And this is for college students. These are kids 18, 19, 20, 21. And I'm looking at a Zoom screen where I've got kids in Philly. I've got kids in DC, some kids in New York City, Jersey. That is difficult enough just to keep up with college students. Trying to do this with kids who are in elementary school, middle school, high school. I will go over to Mike Doherty on this. How long do you think people can really keep this up if you're teaching?
They can't. There's no way. And as the superintendent said, they can't keep doing this forever. I think there are ways around it. You might be able to come up with some solutions where you have specific online teachers only, where that's their role is to teach the students who are going to be all remote. They can do it that way. You can't have one person doing two jobs. If you have students in class, the teacher needs to devote his or her attention to those students. If you have students that are at home, you need to have someone devoting his or her attention to those students at home. There's no way, as he said, it's very unsustainable to keep it up this way. There are solutions they can think about. But doing it the way it is now isn't going to work.
And to think about what goes into teaching a classroom every day, especially if you're dealing with kids of a certain age group. My mother taught for almost 40 years and she taught high school kids. She was very hands-on. She loved, especially when she taught elementary school kids, interacting, talking to them, getting to know them. You can only do so much on a Zoom screen. And it looks like the good news is there is some sort of plan in place for next year that's going to hopefully take some of the pressure off these teachers. But Mr. DiNardo, what do we know so far about this?
What we know is that we don't know what it's going to look like. remember that there are teachers who want to be vaccinated. They probably will be if they haven't already. And the district is aiming to have 5 day a week in-person classes. That doesn't necessarily mean normal classes. You could have schools with staggered A, B schedules that to maintain social distancing in what are often crowded classrooms in Philadelphia, even if you use the now 3-foot recommendation from the CDC, you may not be able to put all students in all classrooms with the normal hours that you had 2 years ago. The district is working on crafting transportation plans right now, if that's going to be the model. But the district really doesn't know what the classes are going to look like in the fall. They've got plan A, B, and C. And depending on the spread of the virus, they will go down that road. And they're trying to budget for that right now. But the district is aiming for to have everybody back with some measure of virtual education for those students who want it. But even Dr. Height is the first to admit right now that he doesn't know what it's going to look like in September.
Are they even thinking of doing something with maybe having teachers who specifically are focused on the kids who are at home? How many are we looking at in a kind of a model like that? And also financially, how are they going to pull off maybe hiring that group of teachers? Is it going to be like a group of substitute teachers? How does that work out?
Well, remember, you have some teachers who are immunosuppressed who didn't go back to the classroom now. So there is a small, but there's a pool of teachers right there who would be able to teach exclusively virtually. As for hiring teachers, the district doesn't quite know what the demand will be for a virtual model. Remember, right now, only about a third of the students who are eligible to go back to the classroom physically have chosen to do so. So the district doesn't know what it's going to look like in September if they open up classes all the way. When it comes to money, they've got more than $1 billion worth of federal relief money on the way that they're talking about ways to spend that now. Of course, that's not all. Much of it is going to facilities. Much of it's going to social and emotional learning. But some of that could very well go to hiring extra teachers to get them over this virtual hump, if there is one to jump over in September.
If the district has all this extra money laying around and there is an opportunity to hire more teachers, they don't necessarily have to hire teachers locally that if they're going to be teaching online education, that you can open that up to anywhere. If you have somebody in another state who has certifications, is that an option for the district to hire someone else outside of the state or maybe from a district in the state that's further away from Philadelphia? Is that an option? Can they do that?
An interesting question. They would have to join the teachers union for sure. That may be a hurdle. It's a good question. And I don't know that they couldn't absolutely do that. I mean, there's not a residency requirement that says you have to live here. In a practical matter, I don't know if a teacher is exclusively virtual, whether they'd have to be in this area or not. Ideally, I think that the principals who are doing the hiring would ultimately want to have someone who is in this area as opposed to another part of the country. But it's a good question. I don't know.
Now, has there been any logical argument made for kids to not be back in the classroom by September?
Only lingering health concerns, right? I mean, the case counts and the hospitalizations are trending down, but we don't know for sure that a variant of the virus isn't going to somehow start spreading again. Again, parents may be hesitant to send their children back. We've only seen about one third of the eligible kids going back right now. And is that going to change in the coming months as more people get vaccinated and things open up? Maybe, but what will it be 100%? Probably not.
I know from some of the people that I've gotten to talk to and the stories that I've read, it feels like school teachers who have shown up every day throughout this pandemic, they haven't really gotten the chance to breathe, to process a lot of this. You've had the pandemic stress that everyone's dealt with across the board, and then more stress of going back into the building. We just had the story yesterday in Lower Marion at the elementary school that has had an outbreak in a classroom, and they're attributing that to an HVAC system. So that's another worry that's on top of their heads. And Mike Daugherty, you know, it didn't really get better for teachers. And after a year where it actually kind of got more difficult on the job, what do you think about that? Is it off base to think that teachers are really dealing with it right now?
Yeah, I have a few friends who are teachers. It's really hard for them. They don't know what's coming next. They don't know what their day to day is going to look like next year. You know, I think I'm not speaking for all teachers, but I think most of them just kind of want to get back into the classroom and teach. There are those who are going to have health concerns. They might be immunocompromised themselves. Hopefully they've had a chance to be vaccinated by this point. It seems as though the vaccine supply and demand is sort of coming to a homeostasis moment where it's going to be, you know, on a level playing field. You know, I have one friend who has twins, and her twins were going to school virtually, and she is a teacher who was required to be in the building. That's like a logistical nightmare, obviously. What do you do about two kids that have to be home to learn? And then you yourself are a teacher, but you can't help them because you have to be in the classroom. I'm sure her situation isn't particularly unique, and that there are teachers all over the place who are juggling not only how do I teach my students, but what do I do about my own kids? That's a question I'm sure many of them have been asking for a long time, and it doesn't look like there are rock solid answers right now.
Mike, there's a kid in the back of the classroom who wants to know what homeostasis is.
That is a fantastic word. He said that. It's like, I didn't want to just reach down and start looking that word up, but it's like, wow, okay. Like this, I feel like I'm sitting in a classroom right now hearing that. And what Mike just brought up there is a good point. And when you think about what corporate America, they've somewhat figured out the way to at least kind of get this to work. Now, obviously, you have the variable of kids who are a little different, where the kids are the main focus of this, but getting people working from home, a certain group of people that are in the building, as we've seen here, even at the station, where some of us are in this building and others are not, where you have a structured workplace, a work environment. I wonder if we could figure out a way, or is there a way to apply that to a learning environment where you can get students who can do their best and at the same time setting up teachers for success?
Yeah, I mean, trying to cherry pick the best of both worlds, right? I mean, it's possible kids who are learning online are more focused because there are fewer distractions. You know, the kid next to them isn't trying to get their attention for one thing or another. But nearly everyone agrees that children learn better in classrooms where they can be directly taught by trained educators who are observing them and responding to their cues. Is a child daydreaming, or are they lost? Are they bored because they've already mastered the material? There's going to be a lot of research and comparisons made over the years as to which model worked best, and how many kids were left behind, or was there learning loss through the pandemic year or year and a half? Bottom line is most people agree that instruction in person is best. We haven't even talked about social and emotional development yet. I mean, it's really tough to do that over a Chromebook. Being in class and being able to respond to those cues, again, is something that the school district is working on, and I'm sure districts across the country will have to be facing when they all get back into the classroom together.
Now, I know we're at this is pretty much the end of April. Last week, April is April 27th. Month of May starts on Saturday. There's a lot of uncertainty ahead, but there's also a lot of hope that things can only get better from here. More people are getting vaccinated. Now the CDC has rules where at least people can, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask outdoors unless you're in like a really crowded setting. It's starting to get better for both of you. What are your biggest questions about schools and how this is going to work? Because before we know it, we're going to be staring down August and September again, and the 2021-2022 school year is going to be getting underway here. I'll start with Mike Daugherty.
I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what the district is going to do about not just every day having students back in the classroom, but full day. You know, right now my daughter's going to half day in the morning, and then around 12:30 they let them out, and then they have to check in for online learning at 1. So they get a little lunch break, and then it's back on the computer. And I think her district has done a pretty good job with that. They're handling the math, the science, English in person in the morning. And then your extras like Spanish and art and music and that kind of stuff is being handled remotely in the afternoon. I think that's a pretty good balance of finding a way to make sure that the kids are getting what they need. But it seems as though the experts are talking about having everybody being back in school for full day is kind of where it needs to be to prevent this learning loss that we're seeing. You know, it's across the board. Every grade, every district that's doing hybrid or online is seeing a bit of a deterioration in the results of testing. And it's got to change. I want my kid in school all day, every day. That's just what I think is the way it should be done. I think it's the way she learns best. And I don't think she's unique in that regard. They do need to do it safely. And I'll be looking to see what sort of new studies, because it seems as though every week now we're looking at a new study saying that masks do this and it protects you from X, Y, and Z, but maybe not always and not all in all situations. And that we're finding, you know, being outside, transmission rates are way down compared to being inside. So I think we have a good few months before districts are going to start really making up their minds about what we see in the fall. They have a couple more months, and I think some more studies from the CDC and other, you know, big research firms will kind of give us more of a framework of what works and what doesn't.
And Mike DiNardo, how about you? What are you thinking?
Well, Mike talked about the balance, and I'm curious to see whether the friction between those who want a 100% everybody back to school model, the friction between those folks and others, and maybe even health authorities who say it's still too soon, or you can't all be in the classroom at the same time, or you need to wear a mask, or my kid doesn't want a mask. I wonder how much the friction of adults will interfere with kids in the classroom who, as Mike said, just want to learn and just want to learn best. So we'll be watching that, I'm sure, as the plans for the return to school in September take shape.
This is the thing about schools in this COVID era, just from my limited experience. Well, I won't say limited. It was a decent amount of time where I was teaching. The strangest thing for me was not being around my students. And like I said, these are 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. These are grown adults. But being able to interact with them, have office hours, really get there and talk to them, getting to know them and understand their stories, that is a difficult thing. You can't just make that up over a Zoom screen. We're getting ready to wrap this thing up. And Mike DiNardo, what else is on your radar, and what's stuck out to you recently that people need to know about?
Well, believe it or not, I'm curious to see the reaction of Phillies fans this Friday when the team returns from the road trip, and to see the return of Odubel Herrera and the reaction to his return. He'll get booed, no doubt. It's just a matter of how loud and how long he gets booed. And fans are being forced to choose, you know, are they willing to give him a second chance to re-earn respect after the domestic violence allegations against him? How many fans believe that what he did does not deserve a second chance? There are people on both sides, to be sure, and I'm curious to see how those attitudes change, especially if Odubel is hitting 330.
That is a very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't like to, it's like, you don't want to really put it in those terms, but yeah, if he comes out of St. Louis having gone like 5 for 8 and hit a couple of home runs or made a couple great defensive plays, slightly different attitude than if he has one hit and he struck out 5 times and he drops a ball or something like that. It's going to be, I hate to say the performance is going to be the judge, but that is something very interesting to look at. Mike, how about you?
I'm sort of looking forward to seeing how research on mask mandates comes out, because every country, it seems, has different rules for different people. And for some countries like the U.S., any child over 2 years old is supposed to wear masks on planes and in stores. But other countries like France, and their number's 12. Some places are 12. Some places aren't requiring children to wear masks. And I just kind of want to see how well they're working for kids. And if we're really messing up our kids by forcing them to wear masks all over the place, and if it actually is helping or not. Like, are kids really spreading it? Do they really need to be wearing masks? If so, great. If not, we're doing them a real disservice right now by requiring them to wear these masks and having them have all this anxiety about going out in public. And it's interesting to see, and I can't wait for more studies to come out.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on here. Mike DiNardo, how can people check out your work?
Of course, KOW News Radio, 103.9 FM, or you can hit me up on Twitter at _MikeDiNardo.
And Mike Dougherty, how can people check out what you're doing?
Same, KYW 103.9 or on kywnewsradio.com. And of course, on Twitter, you can find me at Mike Dougherty, Mike spelled with a C, M-I-C.
They're a very creative spelling on that name, too. I'm J. Scott Smith, J-A-Y-S-C-O, two T's, S-M-I-T-H. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. And that's also Facebook is Real J. Scott Smith. You can hear me every afternoon on Philadelphia's Afternoon News on KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM. Or if you want to kick it old school, go to 1060 AM as well. You can hear The Rundown, which you can follow on Twitter at The Rundown PHL on Twitter. Again, The Rundown PHL. You can hear us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. For the two Mike D's, Mike DiNardo and Mike Dougherty, I'm J. Scott Smith. I want to thank you for joining us for today's episode of The Rundown. We'll be back at you on Wednesday.